gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Everything's fine here.
All right.
In the infirmary. Okay.
I can't. I literally can't even.
All right. Chris LaVoy and I, who both threw our backs out, not doing anything together.
No.
Nope.
That would be gross.
So you are kneeling like a little Catholic boy. Look at you.
I am. Chris is spinning.
I thought about it. I brought a pillow, and I may have to switch to that.
Okay.
Because I've been ordered to only 30 minutes of sitting a day. So
yeah.
I can't make it through the whole show.
I'm just saying.
We ordered you to kneel in solidarity, and you defied us.
Hell no.
I think it's good, because, see, you didn't cave to peer pressure.
You caved to peer pressure. You're sitting in your chair now.
Yeah. I'm not going to spinning today, which this is how you know this is serious.
That would be an hour of sitting. Not just sitting. That's like bending over.
Yeah.
That's bad for your lower back.
Yes. So I've been ordered to, 30 minutes of sitting,
yep.
Ice, I've been icing. All our listeners yesterday were right, no heat.
No heat.
We're idiots.
Yeah. So if you're not going to spinning, what are you going to...
We both had heating pads yesterday. We were just doing our own amateur chiropractic service.
If you're not going to go spinning, what are you going to do for the next 5 hours?
I can walk, so I'll just be walking all day.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah. Okay, and then he used the activator thing on me, which works like magic. You got what?
The infrared massage.
All right. Well, next up? Ebola. Okay.
I know I have to look forward to it.
That's got to be next.
For the love of God. So much panic on Facebook yesterday about Ebola.
I got to say, Charlie Pierce was right about this, right? When he was talking about this part of the problem, when it's over there, we think, oh, it's over there. He said, wait, this is going to hit our shores, and then there's going to be...
who is in Liberia.
Right, but it's not the kind of thing you can contain, and that's why we should
sure
care.
Sure it is. In America, yes, it is.
What's happening over there? It's hard to...
Right.
He was saying...
It's spread over there because it is the custom in those countries to immediately wash a body after it has died. And when you do that, you're dealing with people's blood and feces and urine and all of the things that spread it. We don't have that problem here. We don't wash, bodies in the gutter when
we are a first world country.
We are a first world country. We have.
Yeah, you know what could happen? Because
it's not
an
airborne.
Airplane could on you. That's all I'm saying. This story today.
Yes.
By the way, you know I like this already because it's already stories about poo.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Carlos Alzrocki will be here.
Yep.
Sexy liberal extraordinaire. Shelley Wright, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show.
How did we get her booked?
Right? Because you are awesome.
Do you see who's tomorrow? Do you
know
who's tomorrow?
No.
Joanne Worley.
No way. My happy place. My happy place. Yes.
Joanne Worley is tomorrow.
Right, and they actually emailed me first.
Yes,
like, would you like, but they didn't even get through, would you like to have Joanne when I was like, my happy place.
She's awesome. I love her so
much. She'll make the Ebola go away.
She has made me happy since I was a tiny tot.
That yell is the cure for Ebola.
I think it could be. I feel better now. My back's better.
Yeah, good.
All right, I am just saying an airplane full of Ebola could fall on you. I don't mean to panic anybody this morning. An airplane on us, according to a New Zealand woman. This is a thing.
It is a thing.
It is, and when you get Ebola, you get the diarrhea. So
right?
The plane could need to offload.
These are not the friendly skies.
No.
These are very unfriendly skies.
They're the crappy skies.
From one...
I wouldn't expect that
New Zealand.
Huh? I wouldn't expect that kind of story from New Zealand. They're nice down there.
Well, yeah, but it's a plane flying over New Zealand.
Karen Bass. That's terrific.
That's
bass.
Terrific bass.
Nice piece of bass.
Said she went out to her yard September 28th and something smelled terrible. She said there was waste splattered all over her yard, her house, and her car. Right? I mean, literally happens.
Yeah. That's gross.
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
She said the first thing when I walked out the door this morning and I saw it, I thought an airplane on us. You open the door and it smells like. I am absolutely disgusted at the moment. The amount of crap everywhere is horrendous. This is probably exactly what President Obama felt like when he took over for George Bush.
Yeah.
What has happened in here?
You know,
this is a load of. Dear God.
I'm going to guess it's like the day before your gardeners come to clean up the dogs out there.
Yeah, exactly.
I've housed that for you, I know.
Exactly. And also, George W. Bush, probably in a little bit of a snit at the end of his presidency because of his approval rating, probably did fling his poo at the walls.
Yeah. There are little biohazards all over the place.
I promise if I offended any fans of Chimpy McCokespoon, our former president. Okay. She said Bass's home lies directly in the flight path from Auckland International Airport.
Okay.
So she's convinced the excrement isn't from birds or other animals because that's what the airport spokesman, the airline spokesman always goes, it's
birds.
Birds.
I can tell the difference between bird and people.
Right? Not since Alfred Hitchcock have the birds been blamed for so much.
Well, wouldn't it be a blue color? Because, you know, the water
right,
in those things are blue. So everything would be blue, wouldn't it?
I would assume.
Well, and we know the birds is white.
Unless the flock of Smurfs has blown over.
blue
avatars?
Sure.
Okay. So other residents told the newspaper they've been dumped on in the past as well. But the government's civil aviation authority denied it, blaming migrating ducks.
Ah, yeah. Duck, duck, goose.
Right. I found it hard. She said, I fought it hard. But we got tests done that proved it was human matter, and even at that point, the CAA still kicked their heels in. They wouldn't believe it, said another dumping victim who did not want to be named, who also had a yard full of poo.
Can you imagine the guy who had to come out there
I'm
and
just
test
saying,
that?
A plane from Liberia with a bowl of poo could, I'm just saying, there are ways. You never know. It is scary.
That just seems specialized. She's like, can you come out and test, do a DNA test on the poop in my yard to find out if it's from a person? Whose job is that?
Well...
I feel like it's got to be very limited.
The official poo tester of
the FAA of New Zealand.
Right.
I feel like that's a very limited.
Right. Okay. Well, just saying. At least, you know, no matter how bad your life is going, you did not wake up with a yard full of poo.
Yeah.
All right. Poo story number two.
Okay.
Here's another way we could catch Ebola. See, normally I start being clappy. You know what? If I start from the top, listen, I'm going to be through my 30 minutes of sitting for the day in a minute, and I'll be doing the rest of the show prone.
Well, then you can't poo. You can't sit for the rest of
the
day.
That's true. You need to sit to poo.
You need to conserve some time for that stuff.
Nathan over there.
Yeah.
Comes in yesterday, goes, happened again. Where's the plunger? What is going on with your diet, Nathan?
If we get Ebola.
You know what? If somebody goes off and there's a workplace beheading here, I suspect him. Because there's something...
Tragedy plus time.
No, because don't you, when there's a workplace story, you go, okay, who's it going to be at our workplace? I'm just saying, I'm going with the quiet guy, the quiet videographer.
I thought it was you for a long time.
Seems really nice,
Steph, but...
with the hot girlfriend that seems to have a poo problem.
Maybe too much cheese is in his diet.
He's snickering over there right now.
He doesn't poo all day long, and he saves
up for
here.
He's going to blame migrating ducks.
Really, you're going to judge anyone for cheese in their diet?
Hey, you know what? At least I don't plug up the toilet.
He's going to blame migrating ducks. You watch. He's going to be out there. Not me. I don't know what went on in there. Go in there.
A flock of migrating ducks just flew their way into your bathroom, plugged up the toilet. Damn it.
All right.
You got to close those windows.
Okay, here's another way we could catch Ebola. If someone is changing their baby's diaper at Chipotle on the
gross.
Table. This is disgusting, people. Really?
All kinds of wrong.
And they're blaming Chipotle for not having a Koala Care changing station.
That Larry Craig could bend someone
Larry,
over?
Larry Craig for the absence of a Koala Care changing station.
He's the reason we're all going to catch Ebola because people are changing their baby's diapers
on the tables
at Chipotle. Oh, and the father
said, you guys must not have children. We don't have to have children to think that I don't want on my table.
Especially your child's poop.
This is just gross. Diaper. This is Gawker brings us a story.
Yeah.
Diaper changing dad mad at Chipotle for saying no to on tables. A family diet.
I wonder if that's what the Chipotle employee came out and said. Sir, you need to take your off our table.
Yeah, how rude. That is just rude when you're trying to change your kid's diaper on the table.
Someone mentions it. You could have said Dookie or number two.
Okay. Isn't this the second story like this we've done?
Okay. Too many people are changing their kids' diapers on tables.
Yeah. See, this isn't like screaming baby airlines. Like, you don't understand. You have kids and their ears. Like, this is not like this.
No.
People, don't let your kid put your kids on the table where I'm eating.
I've heard stories about people changing their baby's diapers on, like, an airplane tray table.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yes.
But, I mean, like, between the guns and now the poopy diapers at Chipotle,
leave your guns.
This is not... doing Chipotle a lot of good.
Right, and your kids poo at home, please.
Well, you catch Ebola or get shot?
No, Chipotle banned guns. So
did the father also blame migrating ducks? I know it looks like my babies Totally not. A family dining at a Midwest Chipotle relocation discovered that the restaurant's bathrooms did not come equipped with baby-changing tables, so they decided to swap out their one-year-old's soiled diaper on the dining room table. After a manager asked them to take it to their car instead, the father sent a restaurant a letter of complaint, a strongly worded letter.
To whom it may concern. I wish to protest in the strongest possible terms.
This is an outrage, I tell you, that someone attempts to my babies in their burrito. His name's Chad.
Oh, Chad.
Chad's the dad. Chad the dad.
Oh, boy.
This sounds...
He went on to say in the letter, the employee's horrified reaction toward a dirty diaper on the table, where, again, human beings typically consume food.
Food.
Tipped him off that they must not have kids of their own. Oh, no, you don't. I call bull on that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, we are all childless losers on this show, but I'm just going, you know
would,
what?
That has nothing to do with having kids
Would they
not.
Change their kid's diaper on their own kitchen table? I don't think
Thank
so.
You.
Oh, yeah. Gawker writing, while we can probably agree as a society that we shouldn't use the same tables for urine and feces that we use for half chicken, half pork burrito bowls with garlic and guac.
With garlic?
That's extra.
You can get garlic at Chipotle?
Right.
I did not know this.
I did not know this. I usually get half chicken, half steak.
Chad does have a point about the importance of changing tables in family-friendly restaurants. All right, so get on that Chipotle.
Where was this at? In the Midwest.
I am not for open carry, but I'm just saying...
I want to shoot. I want to shoot Chad the dad.
I'm just saying, if there were someone, I would be okay with someone shooting a baby's diaper. If not the baby, not the family.
That would just make it explode.
Yeah,
that'd
make it go everywhere.
Yeah, don't.
Then there'd be no table safe.
I might be tempted if I were open and carrying in Chipotle. I would shoot that thing like a clay pigeon the second. Oh!
That would get it everywhere, Steph.
Yeah, that would not end well.
I didn't say it was a thought through plan.
Would you rather shoot Chad the dad?
You didn't have a thought through plan.
All right. All right.
Says the guy sitting on his, or you're on your knees over here.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, boys, it's fun drive week, and I'll be kneeling when I come back from the break. Yeah. Okay.
On your knees begging for money again.
Yeah, there you go. 18 minutes after the hour. Secret Service hearings, much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Citrix GoToMeeting, the proven solution for meeting and collaborating with your team from anywhere. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button for your free 30-day trial. All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Shelley Wright coming up on the big show.
Hooray!
Yay!
I love her.
The official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's so nice and she's so tiny.
She's a teeny tiny.
She's got little bird bones.
And two twins. We'll ask her if she's ever changed her babies at Chipotle at the table.
I doubt that she has.
No, because she is classy.
Yes.
Carlos Alzraki, who is not classy, who is very, very inappropriate in every way, will be here in hour number three. All right. Oh, and guess what? In my last night's insomnia spate, guess what I watched?
What?
Heat. You know why that's
the
important?
Heat.
The Heat.
Because Heat is a different movie entirely.
That is an entirely different movie. You're absolutely correct.
Yes.
Why is that important?
Why?
Because guess who's booked on the Happy Hour podcast this week?
Who?
Michael McDonald. Who plays the bad guy in The Heat?
Yes. Doesn't he get stabbed in the leg?
No, he stabs Sandra Bullock in the leg.
In the leg.
He does.
Okay.
I think Melissa McCarthy throws. We'll ask him all this.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Right.
I believe Melissa McCarthy throws the knife at him.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, and he gets it somewhere. We'll ask exactly where.
Oh, all right.
And she does hit him in the head with a phone book. Yellow pages. Which, see, at least there is a use for yellow pages.
Yeah.
Speaking of strongly worded complaint letters, like this dad, Chad, wrote to Chipotle.
Chad the dad.
Because they seem to have some objection to his babies, you know, being on their eating tables.
Right.
This was this was for you.
It was sent to me. I forwarded it along to the management.
Oh, is that me?
I guess. Your name's on the show.
This is a little loosely configured, this whole whatever this is.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I see. Is there an inbox somewhere for management? Okay. Because you called Sarah Palin a moron yesterday.
I did.
Which was really accurate. Yep. Anyway, Mr. Lavoie, on yesterday's Stephanie Miller show,
mm-hmm.
you referred to Ms. Sarah Palin as a moron.
I did.
Sir, I think we were referring to the, I don't know what they're doing up there, 1400 Pennsylvania Avenue, don't you know, which is the wrong address
she's
for the
moron.
White House.
She's a moron.
Okay. Sir, I must most strenuously object. Morons, too, are people with feelings and do not deserve this egregious and hurtful representation. I feel uniquely qualified to speak to this issue as my wife, who has proven herself to be almost infallible, has insisted for years that my friends and I are complete and total morons. As a matter of fact, directly following your program today, I conducted an informal survey of my moron friends, at least the ones who can still form complete sentences, and the following is the result. Number one, your characterization of Ms. Palin was uncalled for and inaccurate. We feel you owe a complete and public apology to the worldwide moron community.
I apologize to the worldwide moron community.
Thank you. Number two, we feel that Ms. Palin is better characterized as a butthead, but then again, we are morons, so what do we know? Thanks in advance for your immediate attention to this matter. Sincerely, Patrick Williams, moron.
Oh, okay.
Moron Esquire. Thank you, Patrick. Your complaint has been so noted.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's been filed.
All right. Can I just say, so obviously we've been talking all about this Secret Service thing, which is obviously, speaking of morons, what appears to be a bunch of bubbly morons.
And you heard about the latest one, right, at the CDC?
No, what?
The president, remember when
would that be important now?
Remember when the president was visiting the CDC to get updates on Ebola and whatever, and he gave a statement at the CDC?
Right.
Apparently, Secret Service allowed him to get on an elevator with a security contractor who was armed and who had been arrested and charged three times for battery.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, my God.
Okay. But I was just going to say one of the things that irritates me at these hearings is because all these congressmen know it's a... televised. Mm-hmm. It's just the theatrics and the just. I think it's just. Granted, it's you know, it needs to be fixed. But I just.
I think the anger was warranted.
I know, but it's just they're blustering at the camera and oh, this is. It's just.
You know what?
Okay. I'm annoyed at showboats.
I know. This is different though.
This deserves some anger and
bluster.
Plus, what does it say to people around the world? We can't even protect our own president
exactly.
or the White House? By the way, somebody said yesterday, like, first of all, the fence thing, why don't you just make the kind of fence that goes outward that you can't get over or put something at the top? It seems like such a ridiculous...
I think there are...
Just that part, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, the guys on Cops that, step on a Schlitz can and whatever, they have a hard time getting over a fence, and they're drunk. The president's house.
I don't think a chain link fence around the White House would look very good.
Wait, the prongs go out or something. Like, you know what I'm
saying? Yeah, but you got to balance some aesthetics, you know, because there's some historical aesthetics to the White House.
Okay.
You can put lasers across the top.
Like a couple of sharks with laser beams on their heads up there.
Something that isn't as pronounced.
Yes, that's my point.
Okay.
Gargoyles? Something.
Now, what's a gargoyle going to do?
I don't know.
He's going to sit there and look scary.
I'm not in charge. I'm just spitballing here. All right. Here is the Julia Pearson, who is the director of the seniors? Secret Service.
We all are outraged within the Secret Service of how this incident came to pass. And that is why I have asked for a full review. It's obvious. It is obvious that mistakes were made.
Uh-oh, passive mistakes for me. I think maybe she needs to skedaddle.
Yeah, I'm not happy with her at all.
I mean, I get that it's obviously a more systemic problem, but it is...
Well, she's in charge of that system.
Unacceptable. Yeah. Unacceptable. Disappointed.
Yeah, very.
I am disappointed. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wife, if you want to change this, I'm going to
Stephanie Miller.
Kiss my grits, you cheap dime store hood.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, we have another poo story? Another diaper-changing story?
Yes. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Dear Chris, we were leaving Costco and we noticed that our son needed his diaper changed. We just completed a checkout and wondered where the restroom was in Costco. We were right in front of the tables in the area where they sell hot dogs and pizza. My wife said she would change him right there on an empty table in the food court. I was shocked. I had a look of horror on my face, like I found out that she was a member of ISIS. She wanted to unleash a dirty bomb next to a poor grandma eating a pretzel at the next table. I asked, what is wrong with you? What makes you think that is okay? I had to shame my own wife into using the restroom.
Poo-shaming. Poo-shaming.
Dawn in Virginia.
Yeah, poo-shaming people do it.
That's disgusting. You don't do that.
By the way, were the Romneys there buying shirts since they're considering another run so they can show their... Doesn't he buy a shirt 6-1 at the...
At the Costco.
Sure he does.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, of course he does. Where's my lying sack of crap? I haven't used that in a while. Romney hasn't said anything in a while, so I haven't used it in a while. I don't know. I'll find it. Okay.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
You know that kind of material would burn his skin.
Yes.
His poor people's material.
Cotton poly blend.
How do we...
I think polyester has ever touched his skin. Ever.
Why are we surprised that Mitt Romney has flip-flopped? On whether he will run for president.
Right.
What was the one just a few months ago? He said no, I don't know, about 25 times in a row. Oh, no. Hey, no, wait a minute now. There's one poll that says I'd do pretty well. I'm back in. Stop it. This is hard. You want to get in the ring? I'm going to get in the ring again. Maybe I'm not.
Stop it.
I might. No, I'm not. Yes,
this
I will.
This is hard. You want to try it? Get in the ring. This is hard.
Oh, if that doesn't say everything you need to know about the state of the Republican
yeah.
Party, dear God. That's our new idea. How about Mitt Romney?
Keep your arms down.
Oh, really? Am I doing that thing again?
Yeah, you're doing
that
thing
again.
I'm a mess. You are.
I am a mess. All right. Oh, so we were talking about the Secret Service hearings. And how like, every layer of this gets worse. So the guy that actually stopped him was off duty.
Yeah.
Talk about this whole system that should have, like, not just the alarm system... There's, like, isn't a tactical, like, SWAT team that should have gotten them? They should have let the dogs go, I guess. I mean,
there are a lot of things
that should have
been done.
The door should have been locked. There was anyway.
Although she did say that system is now in place where doors can be automatically locked.
Oh, well, that's good. The man who scaled the White House fence and broke into the executive mansion was tackled by an off-duty Secret Service officer. He was leaving for the night after, because as we said, President Obama and his daughters had just left by helicopter. So he was going through the White House. He was leaving off-duty, and thank God. So, you know, it's almost like they caught the guy by accident by someone that wasn't even on patrol at the time. Oy. All right. Julia Pearson, director of the Secret Service again.
We're humans, and people make mistakes.
Those are some pretty big mistakes.
Yeah, I think some humans make those mistakes.
You're fired.
A lot of mistakes in a row.
Yeah. Hello, buddy in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
The thing that gets me is dogs. Where were the security dogs? I've been by the White House years ago. I've seen them. These are the best trained animals in the world.
Oh, by the way, you sent me pictures of the new ones, and you said do not pet the new White House dogs because they're pretty badass.
Well, those are sniffing bomb and detection, but I'm talking about trained security dogs. These are German Shepherds. These are bullets with legs and fur.
Yeah.
They're trained weekly to, like, some guy's running away, stick a pill, get
well,
him. And they will be on that thing.
But you know what, buddy? Here's what I don't understand, because I'm not that kind of. My dogs are the most ill trained in the world, as Chris
yes,
can.
They are.
Yes, but they were saying. I mean, their excuse was that you know there were so many people going after this guy, they were afraid that they would attack one of the other agents. But isn't that part of what they're trained not to do?
That's no excuse. I mean, I've worked with dogs. I've trained dogs. A person running away from a dog, and the dog's told to get him, is going to cue in on that person.
Right.
And also, afterwards, the Secret Service released some sort of cock and bull story that the intruder was rustled down at the door.
Right.
And that wasn't true.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's always the cover-up that's even worse, right? Yeah. That obviously was, you know, that he got that far in. I mean, nearly to the family quarters, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember years ago I was, you know, there was a carry campaign and I was in a secure location. I was kind of goofing around. And I remember a Secret Service man came up to me and said, do you like to stay here? You know, cut it out. You know, these are good professional people. What's happening?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's their leadership.
I was thinking how hard it used to be to get into where we used to work. I mean, you have to have, you know, security badge. There's like an underground lair.
There were,
to get into the parking structure, to get into the building, to get into the floor that we worked on at Clear Channel.
To raise the security gate, to get into the parking structure, to get into the front door, to go up the elevator, and to get into...
Right.
The floor.
Right.
You had to wave
your
badge
five
times. By
the way, I, as you know, replicated the exact same security here. How long does it take to get in here? Hours, right?
Well, we let Nathan in.
There's just a candle. All you have to do is lift the candle, and then the bookcase swirls.
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
Right, and then the secret bookcase twirls around.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You're in, and you're in.
Yeah.
Okay, I probably shouldn't have mentioned that. Now I've just blown my own security code. Now people know.
Thanks.
Put the candle back. Okay. Yes, the head of the Secret Service told the House committee yesterday it was unacceptable the security lapse at the White House allowed an armed man to scale the White House fence and break into the inner chambers. So she said she vowed it won't happen again. That'd be good. She said it clear that our security plan was not properly executed. This is unacceptable. I take full responsibility. But, you know, again, I'm not trigger happy on the firing usually, but this just seems like, you know.
Don't make a break for the White House.
Yeah.
I think everybody in the country knows that.
Yeah, and there was, obviously, I thought, wow, there is a moment in time where there actually was strong bipartisan criticism. I'm like, wow, Daryl Issa and Elijah Cummings just agreed?
Yeah.
Daryl Issa said, I'm like, since when will we ever have a time we'll go, well, you know what, he has a point.
He's a security expert.
Yes, he is, as a noted car thief and inventor of...
The Viper car alarm.
Right.
That's
his
voice that tells you to step away from the car.
Right. Why don't we install a Viper on the White House fence with Daryl Issa's voice, step away from the fence?
Then we just ignore it every time it goes off.
Oh, I can't stand it. Is this Fast and Furious again? Shut up. he said common sense tells us this was a significant security failure, not an instance of praiseworthy restraint. You know, I was thinking... When this first happened, because I thought with all of the stuff happening, you know, around the country, whether it's in Ferguson, you wondered, were they showing restraint because it would be, you know what I'm saying? Like maybe they were thinking, well, the guy's not armed.
They didn't know if he was armed or not.
What they said is why they didn't release the dogs or, you know, because he did not appear to be armed. So I'm just saying, I don't know whether they thought at the moment they were trying to exercise restraint because of a lot of the, you know, stories around the country of you know, the guy getting shot in Walmart. Like they obviously...
Yeah,
we're
but that's,
the benefit.
That's
but you go,
Walmart.
This is the president's house. This is the White House.
Yeah, that's Walmart. That's not the White House lawn.
Right. Well, I mean,
you don't make a break for the White House.
Right, particularly, as Buddy just said, at least the dogs or something. I mean, you know, because that's what I guess they're saying is, they were showing restraint because they must have been thinking, oh, it's a crazy guy, but he's not armed, and so we're not going to shoot or let the dogs.
Well,
loose.
You have some of the best marksmen on earth. You know, up. In hidden, but they're up there, you know, aiming for anybody that makes a break for the White House. Why they didn't shoot this guy in the leg or something?
Yeah, something, right. Elijah Cummings said this recent incident unfortunately causes many people to ask whether there's a much broader problem with the Secret Service. Because as we were saying, some of these incidents are unbelievable in terms of the when the White House was apparently shot at, it was the maid? Mm-hmm. It was the housekeeper that found out because there was, you know, obviously plaster damage and whatever. Mm-hmm. So the Secret Service didn't even know someone had shot at the White House, and as you were saying, Michelle Obama said that Sasha was home at the time.
Yeah. Inexcusable.
Anyway. And then there was the hooker thing. In 2012, the officers hired some hoes.
Yes.
In Cartagena, Colombia.
Some hookers and blow.
Hookers and blow.
Yes.
Before the president arrived. So that happened. Yeah, hoping for everybody.
Yeah, when you are on duty outside of the country, you know, getting ready to...
No blow or hookers? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, cut it out.
Not done? Bad form?
You're on duty.
Yes. Scott in San Diego, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Hey. First time caller. Yay.
Yay.
I do send emails every now and again.
Hooray.
Anyway, my brother was in the Secret Service. He was Uniform Division, one of the canine handlers. And he tells me that the reason that they didn't put the dogs on the guy who jumped the fence was that some time ago the D.C. courts ruled that the use of a police dog, a service dog, to apprehend a person who has committed a misdemeanor is considered excessive force. And usually those dogs are used, like if the president comes to your neighborhood to do a rally,
mm-hmm.
the dogs and the handlers go out like 24 hours earlier to check the venue for explosives and weapons
right.
and things like that.
Right.
But every time on TV since they've been showing the floor plan of the White House, I keep thinking, you know, Colonel Mustard with the lead pipe in the drawing room or, you know, the study or something
yeah.
weird like that. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I guess legally, I guess it's hard to believe. There's different rules at the White House. I mean, particularly after 9/11 when clearly, where was the plane? Wasn't it supposedly headed to the Capitol? The one that went down
yeah.
in Pennsylvania. But I mean, you
yeah.
just go
either
around
Capitol the White House.
Right. I mean, but around the world, the people are going, oh, wow, you mean it's that easy to get into the White House or to do something to the White? I mean, that's what I think just seems, you would assume it's one of the most secure buildings in the world, right?
Yeah, and it is, and I've been there. He took me on a tour once.
Oh, yeah, we've been there, too. It's very secure.
The thing that gets lost in this whole episode is the poor guy that did this apparently was a veteran who
yeah.
was having some severe
PTSD.
Issues.
Yeah.
yeah.
And, you know, it's important not to lose track of that because the people who are up there grandstanding up on, you know, on the House committee with Darrell Issa, you know, these people are the very ones who are cutting
that's right.
Funding for these injured veterans
yep.
that they sent over there for a trumped-up war. You
yeah.
know, it's nonsense.
Yeah, that is another layer of it. Scott, I'm glad you brought that up. That's absolutely true. I haven't heard people talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
But you remember, when was it? The convention.
Mm-hmm.
Which one? Democratic Convention in Charlotte.
Okay,
remember
yes.
that they put us up at a hotel. It was like far away as it normally is because
yes.
we are
lower tier media
degrade
yeah.
right yeah but I don't know by accident but you remember we were right next to where the president was actually staying
yeah.
because
we
I was
could
like
see
going,
the hotel from
further.
Our
we're like god we don't seem that important we're way out here why are these
yeah.
roadblocks and then I saw snipers on the bill I was like wow there's like guys with rifles up
yeah.
there what is going on I mean I was going wow I can't believe the security goes this far out
I could look
away from the convention
yeah.
center and then someone's like oh yeah the first lady were staying like,
yeah,
next,
the,
yeah
all there was between our cheaper hotel
yes.
and his nice hotel was a golf course I could look out my window and see the president's hotel
yeah we thought all the security was for us
yeah.
we're like wow this is well thank you finally Progressive Radio is getting a little respect that we deserve at the Democratic Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'll move along.
Yeah, but all those roadblocks prevented me from going out and getting a bite to eat at the little strip mall that was across the way. Walk
yeah.
around.
Oh, boy. Uh-huh. All right, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, God, you let the gas factory in here.
Max is handsome and romantic. What's your point?
And gassy.
Well,
he was gassing Travis out there.
Well, why did. Oh, that's why Travis let him back in here.
Yes.
Bastard person, Travis. Travis is very vindictive.
He is.
All right.
Subterfuge.
Right?
That's all that is.
Right. Hello, Gas Factory.
What did you feed him?
Chipotle. Okay, 52.
That was quick. That was very good.
Thank you. Thanks very much. I'm
uh-huh.
professional. Don't try this at home.
Yeah.
Oh, I am home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh.
Haha, Travis. Max is coming back. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Shelley Wright coming up on the big show
yep.
At the top of the hour. Very, very exciting, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show. All right, and Carlos Al's Rocky, hour number 3. Michael McDonald from Mad TV on the Cocktail Hour podcast. Go to stephaniemiller.com. You can get
well, not yet.
No. To find out how you can purchase the podcast or videocast.
That's right.
Right. And Michael McDonald will be our guest. I'm going to make him do Stuart while he's drunk from Mad TV. Okay.
I'm sure he loves doing that.
I'm sure he does. Corky in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Corky.
Hello, Steph.
Hi.
Yeah, maybe it was just something that they really didn't care if it happened or not, the president got assassinated. I mean, it doesn't seem like a whole lot of people really like this guy.
Well, you know, listen, I, as you know, I am not the conspiracy theorist of the show, but this does seem a little egregious, and I wouldn't say. Somebody called yesterday and said, oh, you said it's racist. I'm like, no, I didn't. I just said that, you know.
I tend to err more on the side of incompetence rather than...
Yeah. No, I mean, Corky, I guess people could go look for other presidents have gotten shot, whether you're talking about Reagan or whatever, so I guess, you know, but this just seems like... Such sort of outright incompetence in terms of, you know.
They did Kennedy. Hoover didn't like his brother.
Uh-oh. Now you should call back on Jim Ward Day. Because,
yeah, Monday is when we can talk about this.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think people are saying this is such a level of incompetence that it lends itself to conspiratorial thinking.
I think it's just high-level incompetence. Laura Ingraham and Joe Scarborough were saying this morning that they thought it was because she was a woman. Was this... more of a quota hire than a competence hire?
Oh, boy. Leave it to Laura Ingraham to woman bash. Okay. All right. Representative Stephen Lynch, Democrat of Massachusetts at the hearing.
I wish to God you protected the White House like you're protecting your reputation here today.
Very good point.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think the more questions are about, you know, the who put forward the false story that, you know, even that he was... Well, that was bad enough, but that even he was tackled right inside the doors or something.
Yeah.
So obviously that was deliberate.
Yeah, and they asked her, you know, why didn't the Secret Service call the AP and correct that story? And she had no answer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, oh, well. Stephen Lynch again yesterday.
This is the Secret Service against one individual with mental illness. And you lost.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the entirety of the Secret Service versus this one guy.
Yeah. And I love what our caller just brought up about that it was an Iraq vet with PTSD. Again, all these Republicans that are blustering, that are at these hearings, what about, you know, being the ones that keeps cutting the funding to get help for guys like this? Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mike.
Speaking of cutting funding, I have relatives who work in federal law enforcement, and all of those agencies are suffering tremendously from the budget cuts, and I'd like to know
the sequester. The sequester, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that, and just not properly funding their agencies. And I'd like to know why the Democrats on that committee weren't raising hell about that point. How much did budget cutting or the sequester play into this?
Well, you know, it's one of the points. I think that they're you know, did she? I'm not sure what she did. She say that it had to do with lack of agents or resources.
I didn't see the entirety of her testimony, so I don't know if she said that or not. I shall research that.
Thank you, Representative Elijah Cummings. Yesterday,
I hate to even imagine what could have happened if Gonzalez had been carrying a gun instead of a knife when he burst inside the White House.
Yeah.
How did they know that he was unarmed?
Thank you.
He was unarmed.
Right.
He could have had something slipped in his pants.
Right. They didn't release the dogs because they thought he was unarmed. How would you know?
Exactly.
He didn't have a concealed gun. That's a really great point.
You have to err on the side of caution in that case.
And he certainly could have killed someone with a knife as well. But, I mean, yeah, it's... Daryl Issa at the...
How much would it cost to lock the front door of the White House? The American people want to know is the president safe?
Yeah.
And I have to say, he is a lock expert.
Yes.
If anyone knows how to secure something from getting broken into or stolen, it is noted car thief Daryl Issa.
That's how he became, I believe, the richest.
We have finally found a use for Daryl Issa. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right, Representative Jason Chavitz of Utah.
We want to see overwhelming force. If a would-be intruder cannot be stopped by a dog or intercepted by a person, perhaps more lethal force is necessary. And I want those Secret Service agents and officers to know at least this member of Congress has their back. Don't let somebody get close to the president. Don't let somebody get close to his family. Don't let them get in the White House, ever. And if they have to take action that's lethal, I will have their back.
Yeah.
I might agree with Jason Chaffetz.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. It's a moment of bipartisanship. What is happening to America? 58 minutes after the hour, the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Carlos Alzbachi, in hour number three for Coffee with Carlos.
What are you going to say?
Who can say? Who can say what I was thinking? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, so lots to get to, Secret Service hearings, all that. But you know what?
What?
Every now and again, magic happens here on the Stephanie Miller Show. The official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, who we've missed for such a long time.
Yeah.
Shelley Wright is in the house.
Yay!
Oh, hello. I'm so glad to talk to you guys again.
Hello, Country Roads.
Hello, Hollywood.
Now,
how are you?
I'm good, Precious. Listen, we have to, because, you know, we have a news-oriented show before we get to what you're doing, because you are a new parent and you have twin boys, you have to weigh in on changing your baby's diaper at Chipotle. Because
On a table. Not on a changing thing in the bathroom.
Did someone do that?
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
Well, they should be banned from all eateries.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Thank you.
The father got incensed that he was asked to change
his... And he said, you don't understand. Yeah. You don't have children. I'm like, really? I don't understand. You shouldn't put your baby's poo on a food table?
I got to know in what state this occurred.
It was in somewhere in the Midwest, the story said.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we have to allow for the margins of culture, but that's still, no. I'm from the Midwest.
Yes.
That is not, no.
Right.
No, he's fired. He's fired from being a dad because that displays very poor judgment.
Thank you. Because you have procreated since we talked to you last, so I'm just asking. Now
I became a quasi-breeder.
How old are the boys now?
The boys are 16 months old. They, we did a BOGO. We did a buy one, get one free.
Awesome. Oh, awesome.
We tried to have one baby and we got two.
You are a smart sharper.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm penny wise, and we got the two babies. They're wonderful. They only spent maybe 3 months in the NICU. They were early, and they're doing great. They're walking, and they're amazing.
And shockingly, because you and your wife are both gorgeous, they are unbelievably beautiful.
Well, you're very kind. You know that we think they're so cute. We stare at one another and say, are they as cute as we think they are? But apparently, here's the thing. Everybody on the street, when they see twins, they walk aside you for about three blocks and tell you about the twins that they know in their lives. So it really is a discussion starter.
Right. Sure. I met the Doublemint twins once. I just want you to know that.
Oh, did you really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I'm going to tell you something about when Lauren and I started dating. One of the things we bonded on was that we thought twins were weird. And we went further, we thought identical twins were freaky.
Well, see, this is God telling. This is God's way of saying, there you go, Shelley Wright.
There you go.
All right. because we have talked before. You are very Christian.
Well, I'm a spiritual person. I have a strong faith practice, and I like all people who. I like all my agnostic friends too quite a bit. So I don't. You know, I don't care if people believe or not. I do.
You know, I don't really know about my agnostic friends. I haven't decided yet.
You see what you did there.
Now, Shelley.
I'm not sure if they like you either.
Anyway, congratulations on the twins and all of that there stuff. But, you know, I don't. There's a couple other things you may have forgotten because I'm sure you don't get a lot of sleep these days. But you were named top new female vocalist in 1995 by American Country Music Association. Your first top 40 country hit came with Shut Up and Drive. 2 years later, Single White Female. You've released 7 studio albums. And now, Tell us why you're here, Shelley Wright.
Well, I'm making a new record. And, you know, when I came out, my book came out, I came out, and my album came out on the same day.
Yep.
And that, you know, and I've been focused really on, for the past few years, enjoying my new life. So doing a lot of advocacy work, which has been the thrill of my life to do.
Right.
But, you know, when you're a person who creates, whether it's writing prose or writing songs or painting or whatever, at some point it's got to come out. You got to get it out of you. And for the past couple of years, I've been writing songs and kind of piling them in a corner. And it occurred to me several months ago, I think it's time. It's time to start making a record. So I had been watching people for the past couple of years do Kickstarter.
Right.
Pledge Music. You know, these different crowdsourcings. And I thought, well, you know, that's innovative, but not for me. I would never do that, but that's cool.
Right.
Well, things have really changed a lot. The business of music has changed. Mm-hmm. If you read even the headlines of any major newspaper or online site, you can see that music has changed. And so I thought, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to ask my fans if they want to help me. And a big part of it was because so many LGBT folks and straight allies, when I came out, said, they wrote letters to me and said, you know, I hate country music, but if I would love to do something to help you for coming out.
Right.
And I said, this is what you can do. You know, you can pre-buy my album, or you can, you know, people can do other rewards.
Right.
But you can give $1, you can give $5.
Right.
We reached the goal last
night. That was the big news. Right. And so now you're in a, what do they call it, a stretch phase where you can do more. You can make a music video or whatever if people continue to give, right?
Yes. Yeah, so we have 7 days left in our campaign. And we, as we started out in the very beginning, we said, you know, if we hit our goal, we have a stretch goal of a certain amount. If we reach that, we'll be able to make a music video. So that's the stretch goal. So go to, just Google Kickstarter Shelley Wright, and it's C-H-E-L-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, help if you'd like. Help even if you don't listen
and
music.
And if y'all have seen the video for Single White Female or Shut Up and Drive, you want to see, no matter who you are, straight, gay, you want to see another Shelley Wright video, trust me.
And we have links to all of that up at StephanieMiller.com and at Stephanie Miller's Facebook page.
And I thought the same thing. I've never been a country music fan, but I love your music. When I heard
it's not the country that a lot of people think. You know, it's not your mom and daddy's country.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not country and western.
I
love that kind of country.
Yeah.
I grew up on Bucko and Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn. That's my favorite.
Right.
You know, country music is really kind of a different sort of pop music.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I'm glad I was able to turn you and convert you in so many ways.
Yes. Yeah, well, yes, you are my gay whisperer, as people say. I love when you say you came out like I wasn't there. I remember. I was... but yeah, I told you my favorite song from the last album was Broken, because it's for hot messes like me, people that are broken. And I,
aren't we all?
Yes, and I related. But, you know...
You're not broken, though.
Oh, yes, I am.
Beautifully fractured, my love.
Oh, thank you. Like that's so sweet. That's so sweet. Thank you. But anyway, go to we have all the links up, like we were saying, to Stephanie Miller Facebook. But there's some cool rewards too. You could, as someone who has had dinner with you for free, this is you can have dinner with you in New York City.
Yeah, you can have dinner. You can go on. We did the bike rides. Those sold out. The bike rides in New York City. Dinner for you wasn't free with me. I think you paid.
I think I did.
I think you paid. Yeah. And we.
How do I get the bike ride?
McDonald's.
I want the bike ride.
They sold out. They sold out like within the first 5 days.
Wow.
You know what? See, friendship does nothing for you with Shelley Wright. Just
nothing. Nothing.
Hey, listen, no. We are back on TV thanks to Kickstarter. You're absolutely. Chris was just saying it is the way of the future. Mm-hmm. The radio business is it's being dragged underwater by Rush Limbaugh's bloated carcass, but that's not important now. What's important is all our businesses have changed. Radio, I mean. Television, mm-hmm. That's absolutely... I
really have, and it's exciting for people like us who love our fans, mm-hmm. and our fans are everything. We have to have that connection,
yep.
And it really empowers that relationship between the fan and the artist, and it's exciting, and, you know, we have to start looking at new business models You know, and I remember the music industry saying, it'll never change. The internet's not going to change anything. Well, looky here. It did.
Well, no, you and I.
It's back on TV? What? Tell me. I don't know.
Oh, well, we're on Free Speech TV. But see, after Al Gore sold Current, you're absolutely right. You and I are used to the traditional, like, radio business or music business. And I think this new model was weird for all of us, right? But by the way, I found a way to keep my radio show afloat. I'm selling a happy hour video cast and podcast every week because I finally found what I'm good at, drinking and swearing. And
excellent.
Right?
You know, everyone's got a gift.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a gift.
Right. What color is your parachute?
You and I had to really we had to come to this new millennium, mm-hmm. and, get on board with the internet, and next we'll be twerking.
Yeah.
Oh, please don't twerk. Please don't.
No. Please don't.
I think even Miley Cyrus gave that up.
Now, do we think that ruined her?
The twerking,
did, right?
No, probably all the other. It's the tongue that freaks me out. But anyway, that's another.
My son George does the tongue.
Oh really?
Yeah, right.
All the time. And so our gal that comes every day to help out, she says, do the Miley, and he sticks his tongue out. Now he has no idea what she's saying because he doesn't know who Miley is. But he's really. God. Anyway, I digress.
I've run this show into the ground. So you got married how long ago now? In
32 years ago.
No, you did not, Shelley. Right.
I got married. Let's see. We have been married 3 years. We actually got married on the first day it was legal in New York State.
I remember that. But I mean, isn't it amazing? You know, I remember, you and I have texted each other, you know, over the years whenever there's been like another landmark decision. I mean, it is just stunning. And I just, you know, it seems like I hope, pretty close at the Supreme Court to it being nationwide.
It is stunning, and yes, you and I have been, you know, we've been pals for a long time, and, you know, when you and I first became friends, I think 5 or 6 states allowed marriage for people like us, and
right.
I know at the heart of a lot of our discussions were, it's never going to get to the South, because the religious-based bigotry toward people like us is just too steeped in the South. Well, you know what? Once the Supreme Court did what it did and set a precedent, it's happening. Equality is flowing like waves over our nation, and it's exciting, but it's also really important for us to remember that even though I believe marriage equality will be the law of the land in all 50 states in a matter of, I want to say 2.5-3 years, we still have to remember that hearts and minds change long after policies are written. We have to remember that we still have a lot of work to do, and the best thing we can do is people like us or straight allies is just keep telling our stories and standing up for people we love.
Yep. I was lucky enough to see Ted Olson and David Boies at a book party out here in L.A. Not too long ago, and I French kissed Ted Olson twice.
Of course you did.
And not in a gay way.
No,
it was weird.
It's in a loving, tender way.
Yeah, it was. It was
right in front of his wife.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's an honorary lesbian. He admits to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's stunning, really, isn't it, what's happened?
It really is. It really is. And you are my gay whisperer. You are my coming out coach, as we all know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and your coming out, I mean, I can tell you I've met scores and scores of people who have written to me and stopped me in public places and said that your coming out is how they learned about me, and that your coming out changed the course of their life. So.
Aww.
I mean, it's
well,
it's
I've
amazing.
Gotten the same letters about you, and I'm now the 36th most influential gay person in America, according to the Advocate magazine.
I saw it last week. most influential person in media, right?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I have reached exactly the level of mediocrity I've always strived for.
30. Hey, that's big. It's really big.
It's bigger than Jane Velez Mitchell.
Right. I beat her.
Yeah.
Take that, Jane. I love you, Shelley Wright, and I mean that in a big gay way. Because
I love you in the gayest of ways. And
so most, gay.
I really do. I love you so much, and thanks to all of your listeners who are always so nice to me.
Please kiss your beautiful wife, Lauren, for me in a really gay way as well, and we have a big gay link up at Stephanie Miller Show Facebook to help you out. Love you, Shelley Wright.
I love you too, Hollywood.
All right.
Thanks, Shelley.
There she goes, down her country road. We're so cute. We have little nicknames for each other.
I've
always been Hollywood and she's Country Roads.
You're totes adorbs.
Ah, so sweet. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
The music was ending.
Sorry. I'm busy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 25 minutes after the hour.
You know, we were busy walking around.
Yes, because of our horrible backs, because you and I are growing old together.
Yes.
Okay. So great to talk to Shelley Wright. Hooray. Uh-huh. I have not talked to her in the longest time. And we were talking about it as the way of the future. By the way, fine Americans, this is the end of the fund drive for Free Speech TV this week.
That's right.
And by the way, we're behind, so hurry up and get the cha-ching. Let's go.
Yeah, we're
like
a little behind.
Sandy in Rockville says, I have all the podcasts. I've already donated to Free Speech TV to get the Steph wine set. That is a great idea.
Yep.
You could. We need to donate. Come on, do it to bigger levels. We got, how about the $1,000 lunch? Oh, wait there.
The lunch is awesome.
Also, we have all kinds of whore Stephanie Miller Show whore swag that we will give you.
Nice.
If you do the $1,000 donation to Meet Mom and the Mooks and do lunch with us. Huh. While supplies last.
While supplies last.
There's a lot of supplies in there. There's a lot of whore bags in there. Delight. Somebody did really nice embroidery.
Yes.
Okay, let's see. By the way, the Happy Hour video podcast really made my husband and my Sunday night after a very crazy weekend. It is a little, it's a comedy confection, and Michael McDonald of Mad TV
and
Movie Stardom will join us this week
for the
Happy Hour podcast.
Hooray.
All right, hooray. Yeah, that was interesting. I'd forgotten Shelley Wright was just saying, when she and I first met, only five or six states had marriage equality. So this is, very, very exciting. Magical time to be us.
That's right.
In the civil rights battle in our generation.
Didn't you first meet her when you were doing the show out of New York?
Yes. As we call it, the trip.
The trip.
The experiment.
Yes.
In New York.
New York chewed you up and spat you out.
Yes, I met her just as I was being spat out by New York.
Yes.
Like a bad kidney. All right. By the way, so this is now it's become... Did you see the pictures? Beautiful of Neil Patrick Harris's wedding
yes.
to his husband David Burka now, and Elton John gave a little impromptu performance, a little surprise performance. He was a guest, and he delighted the couple and guests by playing an impromptu set of his hits.
Is it his thing now to sing at every single wedding? Because he also sang at Rush Limbaugh's wedding.
First of all, I have to find what's the thing I'm looking for. Oh, someone to marry me.
Okay.
But then.
Good luck with that.
Shelley Wright,
mm-hmm.
Melissa Etheridge, who else can I trick into singing impromptu sets at my wedding? Oh, well, Minnie Kiss, obviously. Minnie Kiss and Minnie Gaga.
Oh, and David Crosby.
David. Oh, and Stephen Stills.
Stephen Stills.
Come on. That'd be fancy. Okay. And one of the mini bands. I'll take any of the mini bands.
Even Minnie Britney?
Yes.
Yes. Minnie Gaga. I think they're all the same person.
She is. I got to get her. You know who else I need? Okay. Listen, let's do some. You know what? If you can think it, it can happen. So let's do a little planning for my future wedding. Now that I'm inspired by talking to Shelley Wright, who is happily married with twins. Okay, listen.
I'm not going to wait around until you're 90.
Pay attention. Here.
I just can't. I'm sorry.
All right. Besides the aforementioned friends of mine that we will trick into singing.
Right.
I also... You're right. It's the same performer that does Lady Gaga.
And Minnie Britney.
Minnie Britney. And who's... She's another one. Oh, she was in Minnie Kiss.
Yeah, she was.
Her. She's going to ride in on Cuddles, the mini guide horse. The guide horse, the white guide horse with blue eyes that wears sneakers.
That won't be seen as offensive at all.
What do I care? Anyone's... My wedding knows I'm offensive. The wedding toast will be just like the happy hour. Video cast and podcast.
Oh, God.
All right. Speaking of drinking, Michael Phelps arrested on DUI charges
again.
Yeah. The swimmer.
It's his second time.
It is his second time. Police say he was identified by his driver's license, appeared to be on the influence. He was unable to perform a series of standard field sobriety tests, but he could have if it was underwater. I'm just saying. Who can say who's drunk? I'm just saying, it is not his native.
He was under the...
He looks like a fish. He is not. It's not his native. He's not a land mammal.
He was under the influence, but it didn't say he was drunk. It's been known that he likes the ganja.
Oh, he likes the wacky weed.
Yes, he does.
He likes the Mary Jane, as the kids say.
He does. That's totally what the kids call
it. No kids say. Kids said that in 1974. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Why would I lie about my age? I'm in the entertainment industry.
It is the Stephanie.
It's amazing how much socializing we do when we have to get up and walk around
right?
during the bottom
of
the hour.
We seem to like each other better.
I know.
It's like a cocktail party. We're like, hi, have you been? Now that we're old and we have to mill around the old person's home here because of our bad backs.
Yeah, because walking is the only thing that saves us.
Oh, God. All right. Oh, by the way, not only did I mention to Shelley Wright that I am the 36th most influential homo gay in the media, according to Advocate Magazine. Thank you. Did you see this? This is very exciting.
What?
I've been radio roughly...
Since Marconi invented it?
Right. 75, 80 years.
Yeah.
It's always exciting when you get a billboard. I'm getting a billboard in Chicago.
You are?
Yes.
On the Kennedy.
Right on the Kennedy. That's the big time.
That is the big time. You got
Matt,
people driving in from Schaumburg on the Kennedy.
Matt, the handsome and romantic Matt of WCPT, our fabulous station in Chicago. It'll be up over the Kennedy. It sits back from the expressway, but is very visible inbound
and outbound.
Bam! Take that. Inbound and outbound on the Kennedy. It's not like it's on Wacker or something. That's big doings. Thank you, WCPT.
There are no billboards on Wacker.
Listen, my point is, I'm trying to think of a lesser freeway in Chicago. What is it? Not freeway. What do they call it?
Dan Ryan.
Right. It's not like I'm on the Dan Ryan. I'm on the Kennedy, people. A little respect.
Or the Eisenhower.
Right.
Not I still Pulaski. Remember the
not
name.
Not Pulaski. I'm off the Kennedy. So suck on that. Okay. All right. Jeff says, happy birthday. Yeah, my birthday was when now? I'm too old to remember. Monday. Oh, it was Monday. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, this is why we have to keep fighting the good fight. Steph, my son and I were playing in a golf outing this weekend. As we came up to the last hole, we heard the group we were playing with talking around the green. We could not believe the topic. He looks like a Democrat is what caught my attention. I didn't know it, but my 22-year-old son raised his hand. Then we heard, we got to get rid of that monkey.
Oh.
Of course, referring to the President of the United States. Isn't that nice?
Great.
That's lovely. All right. Pam in New Hampshire. Hello, Pam.
Hi,
welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I don't think it's bipartisanship you saw yesterday. I think it's CYA, because if you've got people saying bring your Second Amendment remedies, Muslim Brotherhood, put your Quran down, come out with your hands up, he wasn't born here, he's a Muslim, they don't want him killed on their watch. And I think it's coming back to haunt them now, because this isn't the first time.
Yeah, but any Secret Service doesn't want any president killed on their watch.
I understand, but what I'm saying is look at when Mandela was at the funeral. They had a guy standing next to him doing sign language that had been convicted of murdering people. I mean, they're not checking anybody out, and they've cut the funding.
Yeah.
They've cut the funding for this. So it's coming back to haunt them with everything that they've said. When you already got mentally unstable people, what do you think they're going to do? And I think yesterday, I think for the first time in 6 years, I saw maybe a little bit of concern. It's like, ooh, it's coming back to haunt us. But
they did this
to themselves.
And yeah, and I'm sorry, you know, an Iraq vet, you know, George Bush's unnecessary illegal war that he got set into, and then, you know, they cut the funding to, you know, take care of them when they got back.
Yeah, this just wasn't the first time, and I think yesterday, I think maybe they got a little bit scared because some nut's going to actually try, and then what?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I don't think they would ever get elected again as a party if something happened to this president.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've never been polled in 27 years that I've been voting. I've never been polled, Stephanie. I don't know who they're polling, but I'm not worried.
Yeah, yeah. All right, honey. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Let's go to Christine in Illinois. Hello, Christine.
Hi.
Hi.
I think Boehner's playing games because, you know, the first thing that was out of his mouth when all the war stuff started up was, well, what's the strategy? What's the president's strategy? Like they're daring him to, like, put it out there in Fox because they know he won't do it. Nobody should announce a strategy for anything. They're doing it anytime, especially publicly on public TV. And it's like they would love Boehner wants a strategy. Yeah, he wants somebody to go on Fox and – I think it would make him look
when
dumb.
He sobers up enough to pronounce the word strategy, perhaps
strategy.
We will take him seriously.
Strategy.
Right.
And what's with Ted Cruz and the Israeli speak he keeps talking about? He's such a freaking Canadian.
Yes. What? What was that about?
God, I don't know.
That's not a little boost.
I just loved her giggle at the end.
she just tickled herself beyond belief.
That was awesome.
Wow. Okay. Maria in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Maria.
Oh, Steph, it's actually Maria.
Maria. You're the official dog walking bartender of the Stephanie Miller Show, correct?
I'm actually the official not-so-subtle stalker of the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour.
That's correct. I believe you 7-8 times?
7, yes, correct.
Okay, nicely done, ma'am. Nicely done.
And not subtle at all. I am so excited about your billboard that's going to be on the Kennedy.
On the Kennedy, inbound and outbound.
That is just awesome, Mama. I take the Kennedy every single day, so I promise I'll wave to you. How does that sound?
Thank you very much. Please give me your report of your first sighting, won't you?
I absolutely will. And by the way, I really want to thank you guys for your coverage on all this stuff with ISIS. I swear it's the only thing that's keeping me sane. I have you to thank for that on many levels, which is terrifying, but it's
It is terrifying. Yeah. It is terrifying, and yet we thank you.
Oh, and I did get to hug Chris when he was in Chicago. Woof. Holy moly, that was quite a hug, and it was fantastic.
Right, right. Absolutely.
I give good hugs.
Absolutely.
You give great hugs.
God, you little tart.
Thank
all right.
You for everything.
All right. Love you, you
love
little
you,
tart.
Love you, Maria.
You little tart.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. She needs to win one of these whore bags. She needs to get $1,000 free speech to even come have lunch with us.
That's right.
And take home the I'm a Stephanie Miller Show whore bag.
The stalker lunch, we call it.
By the way, May has her own. She's going to be delighted. She has one that is embroidered, May Lee's Stephanie Miller Show whore.
Yeah, she'll carry that around everywhere.
By the way, can I make an announcement, and we will talk to May about this on Friday. May Lee's dog, Eggy, is a bigger whore than her mother. That dog is the biggest whore I've ever seen. That dog was humping Fred's head on Monday. She came for my birthday for birthday drinks. Whore. That dog is just
incorrigible.
Really? Every time we turned around, we're trying to have a conversation, she was Fred's head. She's aggressive and hoary. Okay. I'm not saying Fred didn't like it and he didn't take it.
He took it.
He did. But I'm just saying it was, you know.
Is Fred the gay one?
Yes, and Fred is the gay one. So I think technically that was sexual harassment because he did not want it. Max would have been fine with it. Because Max, I think, had a voice that would sound like Barry White. Hello, May.
You've assigned mental voices to your dogs?
Yes. Yes, indeed,
right.
I have.
Okay.
Now it's really bad news.
What?
Why chocolate could be the next casualty of the Ebola outbreak?
Yeah.
All right. You know what? Just got serious.
Yes,
people, everybody pay attention now. Not only do we have the first diagnosed case of Ebola in the United States, fears the Ebola virus may spread to more countries in West Africa could affect one of the region's major exports, cocoa. This is really about 70% of the world's cocoa supply comes from West African countries. So if you think this isn't about you, people.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are freaking out, you were saying, on the social medias and the interwebs.
Mm-hmm. They are, and there's no reason to, because...
Well, Charlie Pierce said that this is going to hit our shores.
It did. Someone who flew in from Liberia.
Right, exactly. But I'm just saying that's why, you know... I think there's a feeling, he was saying here, that, oh, screw this, it's happening over there, screw them, it's not us. Something like this, it's going to spread.
But the science is that Ebola is not airborne. You can't catch it from someone sneezing on you. You basically have to lick a festering wound of an Ebola patient.
You can get it
from
a plane load of poo, as I discussed earlier. There was a story in New Zealand. A woman said that
our sanitation standards are very different here than they are in Africa.
Yeah, well,
also,
you know what? You don't live in a poo plane flight path.
Also, it is custom there to wash a body as soon as it has died. We don't have that same custom here.
Okay.
So there are a lot of things that are very different about Ebola here in the U.S. than it is about in Africa.
Oh,
so
all right.
So don't cause panic.
You keep your head in the sand.
There's no reason to be panicked about it.
I'm just trying to gin things up for
talk radio.
I know
you are.
No, I'm not. Okay. How about beheadings in Oklahoma? Is that something to panic about? This story is really... the Oklahoma District Attorney, by the way, Greg Mashburn, yesterday...
Upon entering the building, he came across Mrs. Hufford and attacked her from behind, ultimately killing her and beheading her. He then saw Mrs. Johnson, who had been the person who had complained on him earlier that day. and attacked her. There were three different people that he had on his mind that had oppressed him, and they were of different races and different genders.
I mean, this whole thing is, it's just horrifying, because in some ways it seems like just another workplace, you know, a guy that was suspended or fired or whatever, you know.
It was more than that. It sounded like he was being bullied by
these two Christian women. He uttered Arabic words during the attack, which obviously is why the FBI is now involved as well. He had some sort of infatuation with beheadings, is what they're saying.
Sure.
The killing appeared...
He watched the videos over and over again.
The killing appeared to have more to do with the man's suspension from his job than his recent conversion to Islam, is what this the Associated Press is saying. Authorities say that it appears to have been an act of revenge for a co-worker's complaint that got him suspended.
Mm-hmm.
There was at the Vaughn Foods plant, the name of it, Human Resources Department. They had suspended him earlier Thursday after another co-worker, Tracy Johnson, had complained she had an altercation with Nolan, quote, about him not liking white people. So you don't know exactly if this is more racial, religious, or workplace-oriented, but he walked into the, as you know, the district attorney was just saying, he walked into the plant and came across Colleen Hufford. You think this poor woman, she just happened to be there.
Yeah.
She was the one that was beheaded before turning to the woman who made the complaint against him. Nolan cut her across the throat and left side of the face. Later told police he was attempting to behead her as well. The company's chief operating officer leveled a rifle at Nolan and fired, striking him once and stopping the attack. But, it is... We'll see, hear more of these details, but this is just...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know what to make of this one. You know, is it more than just a standard workplace attack? I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
Workplace attacks shouldn't be standard, though.
Right. 45. And I was saying, if someone's going to snap in our workplace, it's going to be Nate.
Nate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nate, the mild-mannered videographer. He doesn't say much. Kind of a loner.
Uh-huh.
Just sits over there.
Yep.
He likes to watch. Okay, 46 minutes.
We might want to check his browser history over there.
Can I do that? Do I have a right to do that? Oh, sure I do. It's my house. I'll just wait till he leaves. It's cocktail hour. I'll see what he's up to over here. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Can't throw my hands in the air.
Too old. We are too officially too old. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. Why, look who else has doddered out of the Dark Island.
Hello.
That's good coffee.
I take it back, like my man.
Coffee with Carlos Sells Rocky.
I'll have a Zimbabwe latte. I'll have a Kenya cappuccino.
Jim never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Mountain grown coffee.
Carlos Sells Rocky.
I was going to make espresso.
And baked by Juan Valdez.
Coffee with Carlos.
Good to the last drop.
Ay. Tengo que levantar ahorita porque tengo sueño, oye.
You guys are like, my back hurts. I threw it out. I'm like, well, I took the wrong exit this morning.
You did.
Yeah. Oops.
He doddered out of Vagina Island this morning and he went the wrong way.
Where was I going? Carlos drive those cars down at Tour Mater Land in California Adventure Park.
Yes.
He'll be fine.
By the way, last week's story, remember he has one night when he drinks whiskey with the other dads and goes to Claim Jumper?
Yep. Yeah, baby.
Now Claim Jumper's on my Twitter feed.
Yeah. Claim Jumper's on mine,
sunset,
too.
Sunset, I'm feeling all right in an hour and a half.
They keep
it's
sending me the
Claim
specials.
Claim Jumper night.
Yeah.
I made it my own Gordon Lightfoot jingle.
Now, maybe you can get free meals from Claim Jumper for the...
That's right. I'll get a brick of chocolate cake.
Now, did you get free tacos from Taco Bell when you were the voice of the Taco Bell Chihuahua? Really?
That is a tragedy.
Got some swag. Got some magnets and some notebooks.
That's a travesty. It really is.
It is a travesty.
That was an iconic character.
Yeah, just hung up.
And they gave you nothing for it.
The only time I got free food is when I hung up by the dumpster with all the cats and the hobos.
Hey, that was mine.
Yo quiero your food.
Hey, you're the guy.
No, you're dreaming. You're
I'm
sick
supplying
on drugs.
The cat. You do the hobo, all the cats.
Hey, yeah, that's mine. Hey, that's my gorditas. Hey, get away from there.
Hey, man, I'm the dog.
Good morning, Carlos.
Good morning.
All right, we'd like to talk sports right away when you get out of Vagina Island.
Because we got a Muslim kneeling here on his little swami rug.
We got a Muslim football player. Now we got trouble.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah,
Monday Night Football.
So this is a double standard. We were just talking about Tebow, for God's sakes.
Hussein Abdullah, is that his name? What's his name?
Hussein Abdullah.
Yeah, that's like a
about
double
Muslim
safety
name. Safety for the Kansas Chiefs.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Intercepts a pass off Tom Brady.
Yeah. Right. He made a promise to himself if he ever found himself in the end zone. Mm-hmm. If I get a pick, I'm going to prostrate before God in the end zone.
Yep.
So early in the fourth quarter, he intercepted Tom Brady. Went 39 yards to the end zone, slid on his knees and bowed in prayer. Mm-hmm. So he got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But the NFL said that he should not have been penalized.
Absolutely.
Because it's a double stick.
He was very gracious in talking about this. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, mm-hmm. it could have been because I slid into the end zone. That could be seen as unsportsmanlike conduct.
You can slide, but you can't.
Because, players don't necessarily genuflect or go over Tebow-ish, but I think you're allowed
but
to, quote-unquote...
Tebow was never penalized.
You're allowed to point to the sky. You're allowed to... I think even genuflect. I think you can even kneel and... you just can't
I have the rule book right
into a Muslim thing.
Can't slide into something Muslim-y.
Yeah, don't get all Muslim-y. No, you can't take out your little carpet and your little rug. And we don't want no Buddha sitting
the
all...
The league's rule book prohibits players from celebrating while on the ground, but they said the officiating mechanic in this situation is not to flag a player who goes to the ground as part of a religious expression, and as a result there should have been no penalty on the play. There are exceptions made for religious expression, such as Tim Tebow's...
Mm-hmm.
prayer while kneeling, but he may, as you said, he may have drawn the flag by sliding with both knees into the prayer.
Yeah.
So you can do the prayer, you can't slide into the prayer.
Yeah, right. You can't do a soccer player. You can't do what the rest of the world does when you score a goal and put your shirt over your head and suck your thumb. That you cannot
Thanks
do.
Thanks for clearing that. All right.
That's a big one in football all across the world.
Oh, he's done a remarkable goal. Look at him. Off comes the shirt, in goes the thumb. He's flashing his privates.
Let the
Liverpool crowd.
You probably can.
No,
no, you.
I don't
no, well, they,
it's
your
Europe.
Top
Anything
private.
Goes in Europe.
You can flash your top private.
If you're a
Ronaldo's
penis
taking his shirt off all the time.
You could be a penis worshiper. Who knows?
You could. That's right. You could be a Satan worshiper. You could. I don't want no Lotus sitting in the end zone. Them damn Buddhist running backs every time they score doing the Lotus, lighting the incense.
Meanwhile, in other Islamophobe news,
uh-huh.
Rick Santorum suggests that only Muslims are violent. This is always helpful, isn't it? He blasted...
except for the guy who shot, Dr. Tiller inside his own church,
There's that.
There's that.
Right. He blasted practitioners of Islam at the Oh, That Values Voters Summit,
uh-huh.
that sad little thing, contending the current conflict in the Middle East is a product of the age-old fight between the West and those who see the world in a fundamentally different way, namely Muslims. Santorum drew a firm line between the Muslim and the Western world. This is probably more the reason why we can't have these conflicts, yes. Arguing
this is why
that
we can't have nice things.
Right, exactly, because of Rick Santorum,
yeah.
who's given us a brown back in Kansas now.
A brown back?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Saying blah, 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 blah. It represents a very big clash of civilizations. He went on to insist the distinction between Islam and Christianity, implying that Christians have moved beyond the kind of violence exhibited by groups like ISIS. Really now? Really?
Mm.
By the way, as another one, Chris, the Lord's Resistance Army in Western Africa claims to pursue the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they justify the violence there. Just saying.
Great.
Rick Santorum is more or less aligning himself, at least in the fanatical version, with Bill Maher, who thinks that, when it comes to the fanatical branches of Christianity and the Muslim religion.
Religious extremism is religious extremism.
Yep.
Yeah, you might say that one gets more media time, and you could argue that it's pretty whack. Like, is there a Christian organized equivalent of ISIS, for example? Although moderate Muslims are denouncing them and claiming
Absolutely.
That they're not a part of being
Yeah,
Muslim.
That's the best thing that's happening. We've been talking about the Muslim clerics writing a letter, how this is not in the name of Islam, and Muslim youth have started the hashtag not in my name.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about Hussein Abdullah, though, was I think it was about a year
player.
Ago, he and his brother took a year off to go to, and his brother was a pro football player. And
Do
they both took a, they did a pilgrimage to Mecca. They took a full year off. in the case of his brother, it hurt his career and he never came back, but Hussein Abdullah was managed to take some time off. And the problem with our media is that there is not enough coverage of moderate Muslim movements or Palestinian-Israel conflict. It's always Hamas and all the...
something dumb, too. He said, you don't see Baptist preachers going on jihad. Right, dummy, because Christians don't call it jihad. That's Christians that do extremism.
They call it crusades.
We have a Baptist preacher that don't like the gays too much in our neighborhood.
Right back. More Coffee with Carlos on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Why, look, we're waiting through coffee with sexy liberal Carlos Alzaraque.
Yes, coffee. I should be a coffee drinker. Hang out in swanky cafes.
I mentioned you were the Happy Hour podcast heroine that we offered free to the kids.
Yes. Yay!
And now the Happy Hour podcast, wildly popular.
It's a big hit. Right, to the children. Listen to it on
Spotify.
I hope the children don't listen to it.
We want to help the children. Please listen to the Stephanie Miller
Go to StephanieMiller.com.
Hey, you freaking.
You can get us now in audio, video, or powdered form.
Mm-hmm.
No powder form. No, I'm just kidding. Form. Okay. All right. But yeah, Carlos did the first one, then Rick Overton, and John Fugelsang was last week, and this week, Michael McDonald.
Yes.
Not from the Doobie Brothers.
No.
From MAD-TV.
Not that one.
I keep holding on.
We should have him come and just play Michael McDonald, the other one.
Remember famous SCTV sketch where Rick Moranis was playing Michael McDonald, and they were doing the Christopher Cross song, and... Because I got such a long way to go. And then Michael Donald would go, such a long way to go. And then they go, okay, that's all we need you for, Mike. And he goes, okay, see you next week. It was really fun. It's an old SCTV sketch.
I like that.
Okay, such a long way to go.
All right, like Monique, by the way.
Monique.
On to the filth that is the Happy Hour video cast. I appear to have slipped down into the gutter with you, Monique in Columbus. Yeah, everybody's down in the gutter. That's where the handbasket from hell leaves from.
Yes.
You can all hop in.
You said video cast. Were we on video?
No, we only were on podcast with
you.
Now we've turned on the cameras and it's...
Ooh, child.
Now, Chris and I are tarting it up a little more every week.
She makes me go sleeveless.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you thought.
You know who we should invite? Phil Collins. Apparently, he used to drink wine at 11 a.m.
You're like, why so late?
He has a personal fortune worth $194 million and has won 7 Grammy Awards. Clearly, I need to start drinking earlier.
Because you are good for my heart. Yes, you are good for my heart. See what I did there?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Little pun.
Yes,
song parody.
I do.
We don't tape the podcast.
Watch out, Weird Al!
Till 4 p.m., for God's sakes.
Yeah.
All right. Carlos Alazraki, speaking of comedians, I did not know you went to the Robin Williams service in San Francisco, and you were saying, because I heard Billy Crystal cried, and it was just unbelievable.
Everybody was very emotional, and especially when his children got up and spoke, and... Glide Memorial Choir, and the show was closed, or the ceremony was closed by Stevie Wonder singing I'll Be Loving You, and very emotional, and very privileged to be invited there, and the sense was that you really remember that we lost a really great human being. He was so kind and so available to everybody. There was no tears with him, there's no pretense. He kind of multiplied the sycophants by zero. You know, it's just like, it didn't matter. It's like he'd say, hey, boss, what are you up to? What are you doing? He would always make it about you.
Oy.
And you really felt that in that room. And afterwards, we went into the reception, and Laura and I had to go back and get our children. And we talked to George Miller, who is the director of Happy Feet and Happy Feet 2. And he's and George is of the same ilk. He's a guy that there's no tears. There's no, you can't talk to this guy. He knows who you are. He remembers who you are. It doesn't matter. Yeah. And that's what we remember was wonderful about Robin Williams, and that's what made the whole sort of memorial just wonderful to be at.
Yeah.
It was pretty moving.
Yeah, we were saying, I mean, with all the, because we do a different douche-tastic story about a celebrity every other day, but it's like that was the thing. It wasn't just that he was, you know, so talented and so successful. It was that everybody tells the same story, that he was just so kind.
Yeah, including a USO, I believe it was a general, and talking about Robin's USO tours, who, underneath the radar, did something over like 500 shows over the years, and regardless of how Robin's felt about whether or not the soldiers should be doing what they're doing, or he didn't matter.
The soldiers had no say in that, so he understood that.
He understood that. He just showed up and performed, and they respected him for that. It wasn't about, hey, look at me, I'm going to go entertain the troops. He would do it like sort of quote unquote under the cover of darkness, and just, I'm showing up with nobody knows, and like be like, what? He just was a giving person.
Kathleen Madigan was, you know, she did tours with him, and so she was talking about how hilarious that was. She said they're always very grateful that you're there, but she said like, if even in the history of show business, it was unbelievable the reception Robin Williams would get from the troops, she said. You know?
Yeah, and that was pretty wonderful. I was thinking about it after the service, and I basically went, in the comedy world, he was the sun, and we just kind of were planets that revolved around him, and he was just kind of, I don't want to be sort of euphemistic, but he was giving out that light, man. He's like, I'll give it to you. You need some, man. I got too much, man. I got to burn it off.
Yeah.
And
that was
cool.
So sad to meet Chris with Rick Overton, who also was obviously very close to him. But, you know, had said that the light was dimming in the last few months. He could see it. And I just thought, you know.
And you could tell just even by the texts that he would get. They would get shorter and shorter.
And, you know, you just hope that is a lesson to the rest of us. Like, reach out to anybody that, you know, you feel might be going through that, or commit a random act of kindness for someone that you think might be in that place. I mean, it's just...
There's...
And that's the thing, with the way you just said that. You think that he just give out all the light and he had none left, you know? I mean, it's
incredible. We were doing Happy Feet 2 in Australia, and we were doing, like, 8-hour sessions, and, you know, us young kids would go up to the little microphone, do our thing, and then sit on a stool, and he just stood the whole time. I'm ready to go, man. Let's go, boss. What do you need? It's like, where are you? It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Speaking of comedians, so Tracy Morgan, you've seen this thing is getting. God, and you and I, how many sexy liberals do we travel to together? And this is just a horrible story. His friend was killed that was traveling with him to a comedy show. And so Walmart. I can't even believe they said they said he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, as if.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's true or not, but you go, really? So you kept your driver up for 77 hours, and then he slams into these guys?
Yeah.
And you're going to go, you know.
A force of that magnitude would, crush anybody.
Was his friend
anybody,
wearing a
even if they're wearing a seatbelt?
I don't know.
We don't know.
He lashed out a day after the company blamed him for not wearing a seatbelt when one of its tractor trailers struck his limo on the New Jersey Turnpike. He said, after I heard what Walmart said in court, I felt like I had to speak out. I can't believe Walmart is blaming me for an accident they caused. He's wheelchair bound and apparently having a tough time. He's really struggling as he recovers. And as I was saying, his friend was killed. But I don't know. It doesn't say in there, but I can't believe Walmart would bring that up.
Corporations are people, my friend.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Mitt.
Corporations.
Hey, guess who might be back? Mitt. Mitt might run again, everybody.
Mitt's gonna do it again. Yeah, you heard from old Joseph Smith. Old Joe said, Mitt, you get out there and run again and get yourself a few more wives while you're at it.
I was saying earlier, why would it surprise us that Mitt Romney has flip-flopped on something yet again?
Yeah.
They call him Flipper.
I've heard. Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. He, after months of insisting he was not going to run for president again, there is not one issue, there's not one thing Mitt Romney has not flip-flopped on in this.
Yeah.
He Nick Saban does.
He said, we've got a lot of people looking at the race. We'll see what happens. In June, as you call, that was months ago.
Right.
He's like, thanks for blocking that bridge, Chris Christie. Yes.
He dismissed talk that at a GOP. Remember, he hosted that GOP fundraising event in Park City, Utah, attended by a lot of the presidential nominees or whoever. And he said, I'm not running for president. He told Meet the Press, I brought a number of the 2016 contenders here to meet with my fundraisers. If I'd been running, I certainly wouldn't have done that.
Well,
hold up now, because wait a minute, now June, July, so actually it's October today.
Yep.
How could he possibly? If he does decide to run, expect to see more of the Romney portrayed in Mitt, the documentary. Romney is still haunted by his famous 47% comments, when, of course, he was accidentally caught on tape saying what he really thinks.
Yeah.
He said, I was talking to one of my political advisors. Right there, that makes you a man of the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which of us doesn't have a circle of political advisors that we
right.
still talk to?
Every I got my dog.
And I said, if I had to do this again, I'd insist you literally had a camera on me at all times. I want to be reminded this is not off the cuff. Oh, that'd be perfect. Oh. I'm sure he'd make no gaffes if there was a camera on him 24/7.
That's right.
That would be spectacular. I'm sure there'd be even
promise.
More interesting comments. Why? Look at the height of those trees. They're perfect. Why? Look, lakes. Oh, heavens.
Supercuts are fantastic sounds. Oh. I can't decide.
By the way, this is weird. According to the Times, he said Romney compared the barrage of 2016-related questions to a scene in the film Dumb and Dumber. After Jim's character...
The toilet scene?
Jim Carrey's... No.
Oh.
Jim Carrey's character is flatly rejected by Lauren Holly. She tells him there's a one in a million chance that she would change her mind. So Romney told me, embodying the character, Jim Carrey says, you're telling me there's a chance.
Ah.
Okay.
Let's go
to All righty then.
It kind of sounds like he was being a little flip-floppy.
They were afraid to come out and support him. They were ashamed of their new candidate. They were reluctant to vote for a Mormon.
Ooh.
The one they just had to nominate.
5, 6, 7, 8. Who's the one they love to hate?
It was that etchy, sketchy, wishy-washy, flippy-floppy, Mittens Romney, the one they all love to hate. That almost witty, asty, ditty, richy, rich, he's Mittens Romney. Mittensum is not really that great.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Oh, we can use all the oldies again.
Yes.
Rocky Mountain Mike can have the whole campaign off if... Mitt Romney runs, we'll just use all the old brilliant ones.
Just like rechargeable batteries.
There you go. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along coffee with Carlos Alas Rocky on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I counted. It was 11. 11 no's.
No.
When Romney was asked in January if he would ever run for president again. Oh, no.
I'm just thinking if there's a real-life Hunger Games, I'm going to go for that Omar Gonzalez guy that hopped over the White House fence. He got pretty far. I think he could challenge Katniss. Why did it have to be a Latino that jumped the fence?
Right, Carlos? It's all your fault.
There's just like somewhere there's like some sketch being made about them laughing. In America! They have a fence around the White House that is only 7 feet. 6 inches tall. Ah, 7 feet. 6 inches tall. Watch out for the fence. Oh.
Yes, they always say about the wall here, right?
Yeah.
They're like going, no matter what you do, find a way to get in. I'm like going, this is the friggin' White House, though.
Then
this is
their senators acting like Eddie Albert in The Longest Yard. Shoot him! Kill him! Shoot him now! He's just going to get the football.
But seriously, it's not like this is like Nogales at 3 a.m. It's the White House. Aren't there lights?
Let the dogs do what they do. The dogs could take them down. It'd be fine. You don't have to shoot them. Let the dogs go.
You know the signs with the Mexican families crossing the street?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it says be careful of,
of
Mexican
without
families running.
We need those at the White House. We need a guy like climbing the fence.
Yeah, be careful.
Right.
Fence jabber.
Yeah.
Let the dogs go. Get a net.
Release the hounds. Hack in Colorado, you're on with Carlos. Hello, Hack.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, well.
You're going great here. Kind of a wind. It's blowing so hard I saw Rush Limbaugh leaning left.
Hey,
that's the pot.
There we go. Ahead, Hack.
Anywho, Matthews led off with the Ebola case in Dallas. And the only thing that I really got out of Matthews is he parsed words of an Obama speech toward at the CDC calling an Ebola case in the United States unlikely. And my problem with that is, yes, it was unlikely, but it has happened, and it's not like we are, it's not like we were caught blind by it. We are actually doing something about it. CDC, that quote-unquote government health care that the Republicans absolutely shut down the government over and defunded and all that other stuff,
yeah,
was right absolutely on it. But it seems to me that Matthews has a language comprehension problem in that he doesn't seem to know the meaning between the difference between unlikely and impossible.
Well, he's right. Been focusing too much on how you pronounce Genie.
Genie. But this case originated, or the origins of him getting ill was Liberia. In Liberia.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
not as it's, it, there are origins of...
He didn't catch it here in the United States.
Exactly.
Yes. There is no epidemic.
And we have the treatment. There was a medical expert on MSNBC this morning that means... The Doctors Without Borders and things like that. Those are the people that need more help. You have to contain
right.
it in
because,
Liberia now.
Because they're working in unsterile conditions over there.
Absolutely.
And,
well, and
they
the
come
stories,
in a lot more contact.
Hawkeye and Pierce.
And the stories there are just heartbreaking. Of
yeah.
the, you know, that how much it's being exacerbated by fear and ignorance. Like the Ebola workers are being shunned because, no. I mean, I think there's so much. And then we were talking a while back about them letting Ebola patients out because there's, you know, all this... These conspiratorial, mm-hmm. you know, thoughts about it, and so that's part of what's terrifying, you know, it's the way it's spreading over there, and even the people that are trying to help are being shunned by, you know, because there's so much fear. Let's go to Carol in Asheville. You're on with Carlos. Hi, Carol.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, fantastic. Hey, listen, congratulations on the billboard.
On the Kennedy.
I've been to Chicago, and I wasn't planning, but, you know, the billboard, that's a game changer.
There you go. Well, let me know when it's up. I'm getting a billboard on the Kennedy in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Carol.
Well, I just have a question about the football player when he slid into the end zone. I just want to make, was he facing Mecca? Because if he wasn't, he's in bigger trouble than the NFL.
It's hard to say if he was or not, because he kind of slid and just faced in the direction that he was already facing. So,
oh.
Yeah.
No, that's an east-west running field there in Kansas City.
Right. Just
okay.
Just wondering about that.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, you're a stickler. Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Well, no, it is important.
Yeah,
it
I know.
Important.
I know, I understand. Yeah. I understand. All right, thank you. Let's go to Donald. Sorry, Donald in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Donald.
Hi, Steph.
Hello. Go ahead.
The thing is with this business about this Ebola thing, in Channel 5, they right away they said, oh, it finally lands here in the United States, like as if it was, like they received it over here. They're misleading everybody. And there's another thing I want
how
to
so?
Say about this.
Wait, how so? How so misleading?
Well, you know, it made it sound like that the guy caught it over here rather than they didn't mention anything about Africa, you know.
Right.
They didn't mention. This is how the news media comes along.
Exactly.
And portrays it like as if it was all of a sudden here in this country and we're going to be all exposed to it. You know, it's ridiculous.
It's irresponsible is what it is.
Yep. And as Chris said, we have the medical technology to deal with it here. We're in better,
and we have
cleaner,
a bit more. We have
a
more sanitary society.
Yes.
Than they do.
Absolutely. Irresponsible journalism.
Yeah.
And there's one thing I want to mention, too. One of your earlier callers said that if something were to happen, this is about the president, this would really destroy the Republican Party. Oh, really? Well, let me tell you something. The Republican Party is never held accountable for anything. They can get away with anything. They got away with the crash in 2008. Nobody went to jail.
Yeah.
They got away with putting two wars on the books that nobody, Bush Cheney and Rumsfeld started. They weren't held accountable for it. They could bring down this government, shut down the government, cost us $24 billion to taxpayers. They get away with that. They could care less about this president. All they're doing is using this as a way of getting back at President Obama by attacking his appointee, showing how feckless he is in appointing the right people. That's the way I got it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I suppose, like, exactly anything that can be, you know, by even association associated with being the president's fault, I guess they're all good with.
Yeah, I posted something this morning about the gay linguists, the Arabic speakers that through, I think it was 2003 through 2008, right, were like expelled from the army.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that actually spoke Arabic for our intelligence. Yep. Like, right, no, we got to get rid of them because they're gay. And guess who was not president then? Obama?
Obama. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. It's the Skeeter Show.
Yep.
Right back.
No.
Stephanie Miller.
The lab results are back. You've tested positive for nymphomania.
That is going to condense all over my papers. Thank you, though.
I'm a helper. See, I didn't just get myself a little ice pack. I got you one, too.
And the orange slices for the soccer club.
Yeah.
Miss Miller, I hurt my back in the first half.
Here you go. Ooh, I'm going to lean. I'm going to use that for my back.
Oh, I need it now.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, heck, I warmed it up for you.
Thanks.
Just really. Okay, 34 minutes after the hour. Coffee with Carlos Alves, Rocky, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
People are tweeting that they can see my feet because of the wide shot camera. This is the first time I've seen my feet.
Your Muslim feet.
You've been kneeling the whole Muslim show.
I've been kneeling the whole show because
your chiropractor said,
don't sit.
Right.
For until your back calms down.
Right. Well, it's
calms down.
More
your back. Calm down, back.
More natural position for you. I haven't been in that position since I had to get this show.
Anyway,
what?
What? Huh? That was 10 years ago.
I retired the knee pads. Carlos, by the way, we were talking about ISIS's soul, or whatever we're calling it.
The Levant.
Right. Sure, let's call it that. The Pentagon spokesman.
We're certainly taking the long view at the Pentagon. This is going to be a long struggle. This group will adapt. And we're going to have to adapt right along with them. And airstrikes alone, you're just not going to bomb them away. It's not going to happen like that.
By the way, for those of you playing the Army ISIS game at home, with your, if you have your little plastic soldiers, mm-hmm, like John McCain and his lover, colleague Lindsey Graham,
mm-hmm,
I think they play Army men every night, yep, with a little, yeah.
As long as Lindsey gets to be bayonet guy.
The Kurds have driven ISIS from the key Iraq-Syria border crossing. This is good, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's hard to keep track of whose side we're on and which. Oh, this is good. Good. The Kurds. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Kurdish troops seized an important crossing from ISIS on Tuesday on the border between Iraq and Syria. An influential tribe of Sunnis in Iraq helped with the fighting, a big success against the campaign against ISIS, I guess. So if you were playing the home game last night.
Go Kurds.
Go Kurds.
And I heard that Israel doesn't necessarily want to get involved militarily because they don't want to be in bed with the Saudis.
Thanks, Israel.
They don't want to. Oh, and Netanyahu's going to the White House.
No.
And I love that
ISIS is similar to Hamas.
Sorry, we do a whole lot of stuff for Israel. And they don't want to help us in this one little thing.
They don't want to fight with the Saudis.
And meanwhile, the Saudi Arabian, they're like, that's outrageous, these beheadings. We'll help you. Hang on, we have a couple beheadings to get through this morning, and then we'll be right there.
Like I told you last week, get Liam Neeson. He's very good. He could take care of ISIS by himself. I saw both Taken movies.
Liam Neeson? Why?
I want you to stop this now.
Have you ever seen Taken?
Oh,
it's that sort of thing. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
There will be no more ISIS.
This is good an
idea. If I get my way.
This is good an idea, as I've heard.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Me, your ass kicker.
I'm not a big action adventure movie guy, but yes. I liked Taken. You should see that.
Yeah. Liam Neeson can take it now.
That's too scary for
no,
me.
No, it's not scary.
What is it about?
He's a former CIA agent, and his daughter is Taken.
Taken.
And so he kind of kicks ass to get her back. It's really entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the isolationism policy where we get ourselves off oil and get the heck out of the Middle East and start developing our own alternative energy?
By the way, I think that knock-knock joke could have used a little work.
I didn't plan for it.
Punch it up.
Bad improv.
Who's there? Me.
It could have used some punching up.
Could have used him.
Yeah.
No, you know what I was doing? I was doing a version of Liam Neeson on Extras. On Life's Too Short.
Oh.
I was doing improv.
I think Christopher Walker's scarier. That's all you would need is knock, knock, who's there?
Knock, knock. Who's there? Doesn't matter. I'm going to kill you when you open the door.
I'm going to kill you with a cowbell.
Even if you look through the slot. I'm going to poke your eyes out.
Luke, hello, Luke. You're on with Carlos. Luke in Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I have a simple. I would like to propose a simple solution for the White House security problems.
Okay.
I believe that the easiest way to avoid invaders is to simply dig a large moat around the White House. Not only will this create jobs, but I propose that we put one very disgruntled, angry alligator in there to definitely deter people.
Yep.
They'll create an additional job because that will mean that someone, somewhere, will have to make sure that that alligator is perpetually angry and disgruntled.
Yes.
Or just set out a wipeout course because nobody ever makes it through the wipeout course.
How about just congressional Republicans? They're always angry.
Yeah.
And Bitey. Many of them are Bitey.
They are.
That, what's his name? Congressman Bratt that beat Eric Cantor. Very Bitey.
Very Bitey. Yeah.
He looks like a pair of clackety comedy teeth. Just. Yeah. It's like the face is incidental. It's the main thing is the teeth.
Got Ann Coulterized?
Yes, exactly.
I don't think you need guns, and I just think you need German shepherds, and just let them go all at the same time.
Yeah.
Done.
Okay, thank you. Travis, can you answer the door? Okay, thank you.
Who's there?
It's a long story. Okay, mm-hmm. Whitney in Mississippi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Whitney.
Hi, Mama.
Hello.
Hi, Carlos.
Hello.
I was just calling. A friend of mine, a good friend of mine, is an infectious diseases doc in Texas.
Oh.
And this morning we were talking about the Ebola outbreak, and I was going to offer you, you know, she's kind of my flight attendant on this thing. Like, the sky is really bumpy, and I'm kind of white-knuckling it, but I'm looking at her, and she's still smiling and serving drinks and having a good time. So I feel like we're okay. But when my infectious diseases doc friend starts calling home, you know, it's time to panic about the plane falling down. So I'll definitely give you a call if that happens.
Oh,
yeah, so
yes.
It hasn't happened yet. We're not going down. We're not all going to die of Ebola.
And it's
yeah.
not going to happen.
You know, I don't think so either.
It is really frustrating when you're already dealing, especially in Mississippi, with people, you know, trying to convince them that Obama is not a secret Muslim baby with Satan. And now we have the Ebola issue as well.
Yeah.
It's coming through those Hondurans crossing the border.
My Facebook news feed was so full of panic yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, guys, you haven't licked a festering Ebola wound.
Guys,
you're not going to get it.
You're not going to be beheaded by an ISIS fighter with Ebola. The chances
coming
are,
through Honduras.
Yes.
Yes.
Kelly in Los Angeles, you're on with Carlos. Hello, Kelly.
Hey. Feckless. Feckless. Where did feckless come from? Where did that come back into the... All the Republicans,
right.
It's the only word they can use for describing the president is feckless. From Wednesday morning, Grover Norquist breakfast memo said, and oh, by the way, you all have to use the word feckless. Chris, you're the grammar geek. I adore you for that. Haven't you picked up on this? All of a sudden, this word from the 1890s. I mean,
I know. Feckless leading from behind.
Stephanie, this is just another feckless
phone
call.
How about dithering, Kelly? How about dithering?
Dithering is another one.
They don't dither. They're feckless. They're all about... This is not like from the last century. This is the Republican Party of the century before that.
Yep. Remember a time when black people sat on the back of the bus and we used words like feckless?
I think Benjamin Franklin used the word feckless in Old Farmer's Almanac.
But is he more dithering or more feckless?
The thing that drives me crazy about the Republicans and drives all the Democrats nuts is they get their marching orders. You can literally watch or listen to, thank God he's not on TV anymore, you can listen to Limbaugh change his list of talking points on the Wednesday show because he's gotten the morning... Breakfast Wednesday morning breakfast memo from the Grover Norquist conspiracy tells them all this is what we'll be hitting on this week, and they pound the crap out of it for 7 days.
Yep.
And feckless must have been on that memo someplace about 3 months ago.
Yep, absolutely.
My favorite is American people. American people.
American people. That's one of the cry words for
American people.
For John Boehner.
It
used to be tavern, but now when he says American people, it makes him cry.
American people. American people.
Yes. And also the president does not have a strategy.
American people.
The American people.
South American people.
Deserve a strategy for
Latin American people. North American people.
Central American people.
Let's get to more important issues, and that is, how are we feeling about the ban on plastic bags here in California?
You know what? I love it. I kind of like it.
I love it.
We're environmentalists.
What?
It is a little disconcerting at first to have to pay for the paper bags, because I know
Bring your own bag.
I buy a lot of groceries.
So do I.
Yeah.
How many of those bags? How do you know how many bags to bring? Of the
I just bring more than you need.
Yeah.
I have
like six of them. I always keep them in my car.
Really? Oh, six of them.
Yeah.
Right, I got to get some more. All right. Governor Jerry Brown.
You have a big stack of tote bags down there that could be you.
Oh, you dare me? Do you dare me to bring these all? I have like tons of them to the supermarket.
Or you can go to those.
I'm a Stephanie Miller Show whore.
You are. You can go to those doggy park things where they give out the doggy bags and bring 100 of those. I brought my bags. Here you go. They put an apple in there. I'll take the Crest toothpaste in that one.
I did use those little plastic shopping bags to line like little garbage cans.
I use them to pick up poop.
But now we're not going to have them anymore for adaptive reuse.
No way.
I get the scented poop bags because that's really effective.
Well,
because it does not smell like lavender at all.
Mm. You need one of those 20-gallon like. Yard bag.
There is nothing that you can scent Fred's poop with. It is.
I'm just going to let my toenails grow like talons so I can just snatch it myself. Bye-bye, poo-poo.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just got a little bit of a visual there.
Huh?
Governor Jerry Brown signed the nation's first statewide ban on single-use plastic bags at grocery and convenience stores. My grocery store has not had them for a long time.
Well, yeah, the city of Los Angeles banned them.
Yeah.
But they banned them, like, kind of recently. West Hollywood banned it a long time ago. So,
we've got plenty where I live.
Yeah. But if you shop in Burbank...
Guess who's against it? A National Coalition of Plastic Bag Manufacturers.
Bag makers. Yeah.
Seems to be very...
What are we going to do? Where are we going to go?
Yes.
How will we survive?
They're trying to repeal it. They'll be phased out at large grocery stores and supermarkets starting next summer, convenience stores and pharmacies in 2016.
I'm fine with it.
But they charge you 10 cents a piece for the paper bag.
That's why you bring
it. Can't we make like ethanol, corn-based ethanol in a bag? I don't know. Or corn-based plastic bags? Don't they do that?
I encourage you to grow talons.
Bring your own bag, but remember to wash them every once in a while because they do get a little skeevy.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Oh, no, Spock, you dropped it.
And
dookie.
Also, if
and
you don't,
have a bag.
If you don't tend to lift Buicks every day like you do, it's a lot. They're really heavy, the big, because then they're full of tons of groceries, the big recyclable ones.
Well, you don't have to fill them all the way.
Yeah.
You can regulate it.
How full do you fill them?
How full do you fill them,
Grandma
Bill?
Doesn't like to leave the house, so I stock up.
Well, and the recyclable bags, the reusable bags, they're even smaller than a paper bag. So what are you talking about?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know,
I'm old.
Just get the canvas bags and be done.
I don't like change.
I need Meals on Wheels.
Like a little advertisement. Help my show with your bag when you've set it on
the
counter.
Yeah, we should have Stephanie Miller reusable grocery bags.
Good idea. Huh, can we monetize? Yes, we can.
Take it to the beach or the grocery store.
46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of coffee with Carlos on this. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Think about direction, wonder why you have it now. Stand in the place where you were, now face.
Stephanie Miller.
Think about the place where you live, wonder why you have it
now. Yeah. I can't believe what I'm seeing, folks. These people are kneeling down and putting their ISIS packs on their backs. That's how they power them up.
Ice.
ISIS battery packs.
Mm-hmm. All right. That was a Jim Dandy idea, by the way. If you are a $1,000 donor to Free Speech TV, by the way, a fund drive ends this week. You can go to lunch with us, and we will give you a Stephanie Miller whore bag.
While supplies last.
That's a great bag if you're in a barbershop quartet.
Member FDIC. Batteries not included. Pardon me?
Going to Farrell's Ice Cream with my Stephanie Miller bag.
It looks like a Giorgio of Beverly Hills bag.
It does.
And hopefully, by that time, Carlos will have grown talons, and maybe he'll join us. And then you can see that. Won't that be something?
That almost sounded like Sam Kinison sped up.
I don't know where
I live in hell.
Yeah. Who would win between a velociraptor and Sam Kinison?
Yeah,
okay.
Wow.
All right. card. Stop it.
Look what fun, I started.
Fun with Mama's box.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
One, what?
Don't make me touch your box.
It is not like a garbage dumpster. There are not flies.
Hey, Blondie! I bet you can't make it all the way to the box! Rest in peace, Eli Wallach.
Dr. Leakey! Look what I found. Okay, I don't know. I don't. Can I just say I don't want to hear one more celebrity bitch about being famous?
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway says fame was once too much to bear. The fame thing f***ed me up for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see if you're an artist and you get success and you want to do your art and then it envelops you.
Right. That's why I am exactly at the level of mediocrity that I had planned.
Yeah.
Well, Anne, you can always join us at Claim Jumper on Friday nights. Come on down and join us if you want to quit that fame thing.
Their chocolate lava cake is
lovely. I know,
because
of Carlos, every other day now in my inbox, I get a Claim Jumper has a baked potato for a penny today or whatever. I don't know.
See a new sponsor.
Oh, there's an idea.
At least they know you exist.
Ron in New Mexico, you're on with Carlos. Hello, Ron.
Stephanie?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I normally live in Mexico, but I've been back in the U.S. for a while and just recently stumbled on FSTV.
Free speech TV.
And
hooray.
I find you all delighting, and I call this morning because I've got a couple of midweek funnies for you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, here's funny number one.
All right.
I submit to you that there is no such person as Lindsey Graham, the guy you were talking about a while ago. Lindsey Graham is the reincarnation of Charles Hamilton, who comes right out of Gone with the Wind. You remember that?
Oh, yes. I think of him more as Scarlet, because he always talks about the war on terror.
Okay, well, you know what? Here's the deal. If you get the opportunity, it would be great if you could pull down Gone with the Wind and watch the first 30 minutes
okay,
of it.
Okay, all right.
Because what it illustrates is this. You know, Charles Hamilton was Scarlet O'Hara's bitch.
Okay.
In the sense, you remember the line in there of, the deal was, I will let Charles Hamilton get my dessert for me. Oh, thank you, Miss Scarlett. Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right. You're making us nervous. We love you, Bill. Thanks for watching. Okay. Right. That was your midweek funny. Okay.
Okay.
I can picture Lindsey Graham with a curtain rods.
And
yes.
Just like that, the caller was gone with the wind.
Yes. We thought he was swearing. It was making us nervous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love my midweek funny.
I'm sorry. No one will beat my one of my Twitterati who said, who lit the fuse on Lindsey Graham's tampon?
Mm-hmm.
It's not funny about that.
Mm-mm. Okay.
All right. Hollywood apparently already trying to cast a Joan Rivers biographical film.
Oh.
Names mentioned include Jessica Chastain.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Really?
No.
No.
She kind of looks, I mean...
Sarah Silverman. That's not a bad...
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah,
Joan
I can see Jessica
going,
Chastain more than...
Jessica Handler?
Really? Oh, maybe. Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Sarah Silverman, not bad. In a blonde wig? Think about it. Think about it. Get back to me. Pardon me?
Oh, God. Edgar.
All right. Also, out here in Hollywood... Why is my box so loud? Amid talk of a Friends reunion, Jennifer Aniston, Courteney Cox, Lisa Kudrow were seen together in West Hollywood.
What?
Is that allowed?
They look like they just come from a meeting. They were at the Tower Bar here in Hollywood.
I've been there. The Stephanie Miller Show had a Christmas party there.
Yes, we did. They looked like they just come from a meeting. They seemed very friendly, and they were in deep discussion. Or they could have just been having drinks at a bar because...
Could be a Friends reunion.
Exactly. Who can say? Okay.
I like that bar.
Friends 911. Let's just mash them together.
Here's news to nobody. Gwyneth Paltrow remains annoying.
Uh-oh.
What is a rota? You're married. Does your wife... Gwyneth Paltrow has drawn up a rota for Chris Martin and their children. A source said she's drawn up a rota to balance his time living life as a bachelor and seeing Jennifer... Lawrence, who is his girlfriend, along with honoring their many family commitments. Is that some sort of annoying chart of what... I'm not sure what a rota is.
I'm not either.
I think you take a twister board and then you cut out triangles on it. And then
does your wife do this?
Add some glitter.
Put your left hand here.
Some
put
dried
your
macaroni.
Children here. Some dry macaroni. And some you got macaroni. Yourself a Rota.
Uh-huh.
My new Rota. Do-do-do-do. Watch out, Weird Al. I'm coming.
Gwyneth still has a lot of control over him, according to a source, which isn't exactly desirable to prospective girlfriends. The way things are at the moment, no sane person would want to be accessory to their conscious uncoupling. Trademark.
All right.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Okay.
There's Roku, which helps you out.
No, Rota.
Rota.
Like if you're
Neighbor on Mary Tyler Moore, Rota.
No. If it did for you, it would have the amount of time you need to spend in Vagina Island and then the amount of time you get to go to Claim Jumper.
Claim Jumper would be a blip.
How much time does your wife allow you for whiskey night and Claim Jumper?
Oh, I get about 2 hours every 3 weeks.
That's not too bad.
2 hours every 3 weeks.
I'm like 2 hours away from Frozen.
Stumble out into the yard like Papillon. It's too bright out here.
And then does the text go off in your pocket?
Okay. Sundown, I'm feeling all right. I'm an hour and a half away from Whiskey Claim Japanite.
Where can we see Carlos Alas Rocky?
At CarlosAlasRocky.com or on Facebook. And I'll be in Petaluma October 6th at Lagunitas doing a benefit with Dave Bicorni and Don McMillan. That's at 8 o'clock on Monday night, October 6th.
Sweet.
We love you, Carlos. Back to Vagina Island now.
Muslims kneel down in Muslim ISIS pack wearing Muslims.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.